when they first of all have understood who Jesus Christ is, and then make that connection in following through on their commitment to Him. It's a thrilling moment. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who comes to repentance. Over one. Can you imagine the party they're having all the time as more and more people discover who Christ really is? Well, one of the thrills we've had over the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, is that in our services where we've been exploring more and more about Jesus. We've been examining Him through the of His names and titles. And this morning we come to another one that in many ways is a summary of so many of the attributes and characteristics that we've looked at. Twice in the New Testament He is called the Lord of all. The Lord of all. The term Lord is used many, many times throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, but this one term, Lord of all, appears twice. Listen to this one section where it appears in Romans chapter 10. Actually, Miriam already read it for us in the service, but listen again and listen to the context in which it is found. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we ask that you would take these words this morning to us and plant them in our soul. Cause them to bring light to our eyes. Cause them to bring light where there is darkness or death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you read the news or watch the news on television, you discover one thing very, very quickly. The world is in pain. There is a lot of agony. Just this week, we've heard of the riots in Indonesia. And although I never watched the news this morning, somebody caught me this morning and said, did you hear what happened in Oregon? Apparently, somebody opened fire in a cafeteria and with children and killed some kids again and maimed and wounded others. Oregon, Indonesia, Africa, Europe, wherever you go, there is major, major pain. And yet underneath all of that, in the hearts of many, many people, there's a longing for peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have peace? Peace with our neighbors, peace in our marriage, peace with ourselves. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all get along? You see, people have longed for that for centuries, and yet no matter what route people try, it just doesn't work. We try politics, and we end up having wars. We try financial progression, and we end up creating a great divergence between rich and poor. We try philosophy, and we end up scattering all over the map. We try religion, and we disintegrate even further. No matter what we try to bring people together, it seems to fail. All except one. The Bible says that Jesus is Lord of the Westerners. Is that what your Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of all. Now, the both contexts, the way that is used, it means all people. Now in the Old Testament, one of the parallel names was used of God is Lord of all the earth. It appears 5 times in the Old Testament. In most cases, it speaks about the peoples of the earth. In a few cases, it speaks of the substance of the earth. Like He is Lord of all the earth itself, the substance, and that's why He can back up the Jordan River and cause it to stand still while the Israelites cross. That's why He can cause the sun to stand still. That's why Jesus can calm the storms and multiply loaves and fishes to feed multitudes. Because He is Lord of all the stuff. All of that is under His mastery, under His control. He's God. He created it. Of course, He can look after it and manage it. He's Lord of all. He knows where the gold is hidden in the mountains. Actually, one of the references that refers to Him as Lord of all refers to that very thing. It says that the wealth and the gold of the nations is stored up for the righteous, and He, Lord of all, will distribute it as He wills. God's in charge of that stuff. But the primary way that this term is used is Lord of all means Lord of all people. Now, you and I know very, very well that not all peoples on the earth acknowledge the true and living God to be for who He is and to be their Lord and God, but that doesn't change the fact. You know, if you close your eyes, if you were struck blind instantly right now, or if you were born blind and you could not see the sun and therefore you denied its existence, would it therefore not exist? Of course not. Whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you ever experienced it or not, has nothing to do with the reality of whether or not it's there. It is there. The sun exists. Now, whether people believe God exists, believe who he is or not, has nothing to do with the essence of his nature. He is who he is. He is the one true living God. He is the creator of all, and he is the Lord of all. Now, wonderfully, you skip through the pages and go to the end of the book. It's always nice to read the last chapter to know where the thing is going. The Bible says that when he wraps this whole thing up, every tongue and tribe and people group will have representatives who have chosen to acknowledge him as Savior and Lord and will proclaim it. And heaven will be populated with people from every single people group on the face of the earth. I get excited about that. Don't you? Good morning. Don't you? Yes. And Modern Community Church is one of the greatest illustrations of that truth. We have people from every continent in this congregation and almost 40 different countries. If we had time this morning to name them. We're all here from different places, from different backgrounds, different cultures, different religious backgrounds. But all of us have recognized one thing, and that is who the Lord of all really is. When we recognize that and acknowledge it and submitted our lives to him, what happens? There's an immediate welding of our soul to each other. And I can go and I can hug Ben from Nigeria, and I can hug somebody else from Scandinavia, and somebody, I can even hug Harold from Australia. We're one in Christ. We're one. And I don't have to speak the same accent. I don't have to speak Australian to be his friend. I'm not that good. I never will be. And I don't have to dance like the Africans. And I don't have to lift my hands like the Charismatics. And I don't have to worship like the Presbyterians. And I don't have to go through all the motions that somebody else goes through. Friends, if I have believed in my heart that Jesus is Christ, and confess with my mouth that Christ is risen from the dead, I will be saved. And that reality binds me together with every single other person in human history from every other location who has similarly believed that simple truth in his heart and proclaimed it with his mouth. Jesus is Lord of all. Dear friends, this truth, I don't have time this morning to expound on it much, but this truth is the glue and the only ultimate glue that holds together the human family. Now please hear me. I am not talking Christianity. I am not talking a religion. The religion of Christianity has done as much damage. Just this morning, I was passing through the living room. My wife was watching CNN, and I heard some report on some Christian militia group that was proclaiming, go out and kill the blank, blank, blank in the name of Jesus. And they're holding up a Bible to prove it. Dear friends, a lot of what is passed off as Christianity is sick. It's dying. It's dead. It's so far away from the gospel that I can't imagine it. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of the world looks at and says, see, that's Christianity. I'm not talking Christianity. I'm not talking even church. I'm talking Jesus. Jesus is the glue that brings people together. Jesus is the only glue that holds the human family together and will ultimately bring peace on this earth. He is the only Lord of all. Dear friends, that is something to celebrate. That is something to cherish. That is something to share. That is worth getting baptized for and proclaiming it. That is worth telling the world about. Some of you are leaving in the next couple weeks or months. Wherever you go, at that place, Jesus is Lord. Whatever you experience, whatever job you have, whatever your next life station, there, Jesus is still Lord. Doesn't matter what you're going through, doesn't change the fact of who he is. The issue has never been who is he or who isn't he, is he changing? He has always been, he always will be, the Lord of all the earth, the stuff, as well as all of humanity. He's the Lord of it. And Jesus is the Lord of all. The question is, do we know him that way? Do we experience him that way? Have we plugged our lives into the reality of who he is? Jesus said, not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord will enter heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? We proclaim him to be the Lord of all. The question that I pose to you this morning is he Lord of your all? Is he Lord of your heart? Is he Lord of your mind? Is he Lord of your heart? Is he Lord of your pocketbook? Is he Lord of your marriage? Lord of your children? Is he Lord of their future? Is he Lord of your occupation and your career path? Is he Lord of all? Yes, he is Lord of all. He always will be. But are you experiencing him that way? All those who believe in their heart that Jesus is the Christ, all those who confess with their mouth and with their life that God has raised him from the dead, the people who believe it and the people who act on it, those are the ones who are saved. Not just saved from hell, which God did for Nathan and for many of us, not just saved from eternal destruction, saved from all the damage that sin does, saved from relational breakup, saved from the prejudice that separates us, saved from all the garbage that destroys the human family. We're saved from it. We're brought back together. Jesus, Lord of all. My prayer is for my heart and for yours. Oh, Jesus, let me know you that way. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all. Jesus is the Lord of all the kingdoms of this world. I make it your prayer, Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my life. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my life. Father, we bow in your presence this morning and acknowledge you to be who you've declared yourself to be and proven yourself to be throughout the ages. You are the one true living God, the creator of all, the sustainer of all, the Lord of all. You're the Lord of all the earth. You're the Lord of all the stuff and substance. And you're the Lord of all human beings, of all those who've ever been created. You are the Lord. Today, Lord, we choose to acknowledge you as such. We choose to believe in our hearts that the scripture has declared that you came to this earth to redeem us in the person of Christ, that you are the true living God in flesh. We choose to believe that as you went to the cross of Calvary, you paid for the sin that separated us from you, and that when you rose again from that dead, you triumphed over the grave and sin and hell and sickness and death and Satan. We choose to believe that, and then not just believe it, we choose to declare it with our lips, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And Lord, we pray that as we take that step, which your word says is the key to our rescue, the key to our salvation, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to affect all the aspects of that salvation in our lives, in our relationships, and indeed around the world. We long for that day when we will be one in Christ, and people from every tongue and tribe and nation will sing your praise. We look forward to that day, Lord. We know it's coming, and we praise you even now before it happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is Lord. This time of year is a very difficult year for many because it's a time when dear friends and family depart. It's a time when people are going away. People that we've grown to love here in the congregation are making their way off to other sites internationally or moving back home. There's also many families who have children who are leaving. I am one of those. I'm at that strange time of life where I'm saying goodbye to my oldest daughter. Actually, this morning, she's tied up for the first service, but in the second service when she comes, although she'll be here for about another 2 or 3 weeks, this will actually be her last time in church, at Monte Community Church. Next week she's out of town, and the following week is grad, and she'll have something after that. So this is going to be her last service. And as I'm processing this as a dad, I'm admitting to you, I'm struggling a bit. I've talked to parents who have gone through this before, and it's not an easy process. She's my baby. She's leaving. And I know it's best for her, and I know it's best for me, for all of us, but it's still a struggle, and I'm having to process that. We're going to be actually having a farewell for the grads in the second service, and Miriam asked me if I would prepare a song for Janelle, a farewell song for her and the other grads. I did. I sang it to her the other night because I said, you know, I don't think I can get through it in the service without being a blubbering idiot, and through the form, I barely got through it. We're not here now, so do you mind if I try it with you? And hopefully I'll make it through. I'm trying to get to the place where I can actually sing it when I'm looking at her and the other graduates and not have to choke up about 15 times through it. But anyway, this is for the graduates who are leaving. You're shaking your head, Amy. You don't think I can do it? Thanks for your faith. I really appreciate that. It's also for anybody who's leaving, for anybody who's taking a step in their life in some direction. It's something to be meaningful for all of us.
Seeking first. I made it.
This service, you've got to pray hard for next one. Well, our grads are going off and to take some first steps. I trust that today will be a day of first steps for you, too. Which step are you going to direct your life in? I trust that as you proclaim Jesus to be the Lord, that you will be able to stand with me and with our graduates and whoever is going anywhere and say, Lord, here's my life. Take my life and let it be sacrificed to you. Let's stand and sing that together. You want them to know so much. You want them to have all the wisdom of the world. It's too late, you know. Even the perfect parents, and we aren't them, even the perfect ones have missed something. You know, I want to leave something with the grads, and I want to leave something with each of you this morning. And it ties into our series on the names and titles of Jesus. Jesus has many names, many titles, and they each give us a window on him. The one we're going to look at this morning is kind of a summary of all of those. Twice in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Lord of all. He's called Lord and Master many, many times, but in two references specifically, he's called Lord of all. This is probably a takeoff off the Old Testament name of God. About five or six times in the Old Testament, God is called the Lord of all the earth. And if you examine those, there's a double meaning. In some of those references, it's a reference to Lord of all the stuff, all the material of creation. And it's no wonder. I mean, he created it all. He put it all out there. However he did it, I'm not sure. Scientists have their theories. We have our ways of trying to figure out how long it's been there and how it got there. But however it was, we know who put it there. And the God who put it there owns it all. He's Lord of all the stuff. And that's why a number of the references in the Old Testament deal with that specifically. One of them is when the Israelites were about to cross the Jordan River coming into Canaan, and it says that the Lord of all the earth was the one who would stop up the river, make the water stand up in a heap, and let his children cross through. You see, God has no trouble controlling what he's created. It's the same Jesus who years ago would walk on the water of Galilee, the water he had created. It was the same Jesus who would fish a coin out of the mouth of a fish. It was the same Jesus who would multiply loaves and fishes to feed multitudes. You see, this is no problem for him because he's the Lord of all the stuff. He's the Lord of all. Another reference to that name also indicates that the Lord of all the earth actually coordinates the material wealth down here and stores it up for the righteous. I like that. He's in charge of all the stuff, all the material of creation. But it also indicates that name, that he is Lord of all the earth, meaning Lord of all the earth's peoples. All those who have been created in his image, all human beings, male and female, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of where we've been born or raised, he is Lord of all the earth, all of it. This is the root of this name, Lord of all, in the New Testament. And if you examine the passages out of which it's found, you discover that sobering reality. Look again at Romans chapter 10. I think this was quoted earlier in the service. But Romans 10, verses 9 to 13, is one of those passages in which we find this reference. Listen to the context, how important it is. If you confess with your... Romans 10, verses 9 to 13. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, that has nothing to do with where we've been born, our native language. It has nothing to do with our religious background. It has nothing to do with a lot of the things that we think are important in life. It basically says anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place on the earth who recognizes who he is and confesses that reality with their mouth the Lord says that he will make those people his child. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Good morning. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Now think about it. You see, we live in a world today that is being devastated. The harder human beings work for peace on this planet, the more it seems to evade us. Just this week, we heard of the riots in Indonesia, tearing the infrastructure of that country apart. This morning, I walked into the morning service, and somebody said, "Did you hear what happened in Oregon?" And I said, "No." Apparently, there's another shooting in Oregon. Somebody opened fire on a bunch of children in a cafeteria, killed some, wounded others. What an ugly world. This stuff is happening all over the place. Why? And you can't help but wonder why, with all of the education we have, surely education can bring us together. It doesn't. Well, politics, let's go the political route. Maybe that can bring us together. Huh, good luck. Well, let's go the economic route. If we can just establish some kind of economic equality among the masses, surely that will bring us together. Doesn't work. Well, let's try philosophy. Surely if we can all buy into a similar philosophy, universalism, we're all okay. Surely that will bring us together. Doesn't work. Seems no matter what we try, the glue that holds people together is missing. And so we try religion. And religion doesn't work. As a matter of fact, some of what passes for religion today, some of what passes for Christianity today makes me so sick I want to go and heave my innards. This morning as I walked out of the house, Brenda was watching a special on CNN that was dealing with some, I don't know what the name of the group was, but it was a Christian militia group in the United States, and they were talking about, they were holding up the Bible saying, "Read the Bible, this tells us to go out and blow away the blankety blank blank. In the name of God, in the name of Jesus." And I'm going, give me a break. Unfortunately, that's the only exposure to Christianity that some people are going to see, and they think it's the real thing. At the risk of misunderstanding me, dear friends, Christianity, the religion of Christianity, will not unite the world. Believe me, it has done more to separate it than a lot of other things. What is the glue that brings people together? What is the glue that brings Jew and Gentile together? That brings, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that brings Tutsi and Hutu together, that brings the Serbs and the Croats and those people in former Yugoslavia together. What is it that brings us? What is it that brings this congregation from over almost 40 different countries into this place? And we don't start asking each other, "Excuse me, do you speak my dialect?" What is it that binds us together? What is it? Jesus. He is the glue that brings us together. He is the glue that holds us together. And he is the glue that causes us to, quite frankly, let go of some of those other things that we have been taught to consider important. You see, it really doesn't matter whether you're a charismatic and I may not be. I can love you because we're united in Jesus. It really doesn't matter whether you worship in a more formal style than I do. Because it doesn't matter. If you know Jesus and you confess him with your mouth as your Lord, we are one. It really doesn't matter what language you speak. You know, I can love Harold Dews even though I don't speak Australian. What's that? He'll teach me. Well, I hope I can get to heaven without it. You know, those, a lot of the things that we as humans establish as essentials for unity, friends, basically are non-essentials. The Bible says the thing that will bring Jew and Greek together, the thing that will ultimately unite the nation, the thing that will ultimately bring people from every tongue and tribe on this terrestrial ball standing before God in absolute unity is one and one thing only, a recognition of and a confession of Jesus as Lord of all. That's the only thing. And when we discover that, we experience the unity in Christ. We don't have to be like each other. Thank God you don't have to be like me. Now don't cheer. Thank God we don't have to be like each other. We can celebrate our diversity and unite on that which is essential. Who Jesus is and our confession of him as Savior and Lord. Amen? And when people recognize that, dear friends, we have a key. We have the glue to the universe. The Bible says he sustains all things by the power of his word. He holds it all together in the essence of his being. And if he can do that with the matters of the universe, And if he can do that with the nations of the world, and if he can do that with peoples from all different countries joining together, do you think he can do the same thing inside your person and mind? How often do we disintegrate ourselves internally, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally? We're at war within ourselves. You know why? Because we may profess to know him as Savior and Lord, but we haven't confessed him. We haven't experienced him as Lord of all. I declare to you, dear friends, with joy. I declare to you, graduates who are going off to university or college. I declare to those of you who are leaving and moving on somewhere else. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. Jesus is Lord of all. Never forget that. That's the only thing that's going to get you through college when your mind is being bombarded by thoughts perhaps that are totally anti-God, totally anti-scriptural, that seem to pull the rug out from you. Remember, Jesus is Lord of all. When you get into situations where you feel your life is falling apart and you're thrown into a situation where you feel you're crumbling, you didn't ask for it, but it's happening to you. You can't make heads or tails of it. You feel like God is a million miles away. Remember, Jesus is Lord of all. When you can't see what's ahead, when you don't know what tomorrow holds, and you can't even figure out your past, and you feel like the whole world is swimming and swirling, remember, Jesus is Lord of all. Never forget that. And I declare to you, you remember that. You build your life on that, dear friends. And I don't care what other building blocks you use. Your house and your life will be firm. The Lord of all the earth is Jesus, the Lord of all. The only question we have to settle is whether or not we know him as such. Do you know him this morning as Jesus, the nice religious guy? Do you know him as Jesus, the Lord and Savior on paper? You may have a certificate to show it. Or do you know him as Jesus, as Lord of all the parts of who you are? I invite you this morning, if you don't know him that way, to get to know him that way. He will never cease being who he is, whether you believe it or not. He will always be the Lord of all. But I invite you to let him be the Lord of your all and experience the results of that lordship. Our closing hymn is a beautiful one. And it basically says, Lord, okay, I'm willing to take this part of my life. I'm willing to take this. Worship team, come on up and we'll sing it. It basically says we're willing to take every single part of our lives and give it to the Lord of all. And let him be in charge of those areas of our life. I invite you to sing it with me as a prayer of commitment. Some of you may be praying it, having to give your children, as I am this morning. Lord, I give you my child for whatever is in their future. Some of you may have to sing this regarding your wallet. You've been hanging on, and the real God of your life is your money. Some of you may have charted your own course in life, and like Sinatra, you're singing, I'm doing it my way. Well, guess what, dear friends? He's finding out the cost of that. I invite you today to take everything you are and everything you have and submit it to the one who owns it all anyway. But he invites you to do it joyfully.